practice what I preach this morning in the Sunday school class. I really enjoyed the Sunday school class. Where's Brother Green? Was he in here? He's back there. I told him it was my first, my second. It's actually my third. I had two others like that. But one of the things I said is often we try to take praise from other folks, and in our mind we want to say the right thing, but what he just said about the three girls playing the violins, wanting to keep them. There's only 50 other churches said the same thing. And to God be the glory. It's because of him that they're able to learn to play and then to play to the glory of God. And if I did leave them with other churches, like I said, it would just be me and my wife, and they'd find something she could do. And they'd take her too. She does well. She does well. They ask many people, what did y'all play? Because our kids are learning, or our four brass instruments, or brass and Jesse are gone now. We no longer have them with us on furlough and such. I tell them the only thing I played growing up was the radio. And that was about it. I had no instrument, but God laid it upon our hearts through our pastor, young marriage class, right after I got saved. If you're going to invest anything, invest in your children's music. And we did that. We followed that advice, that pastoral advice, and it's been a blessing to us over the years and to people all around us. And praise God for that. Well, today is Mother's Day. And I asked Pastor when he said, I want you to preach Mother's Day. I said, do you want to be on? He said, whatever you want to do. It's the Lord's Day. And however you're led to, the Lord leads you. And I'm not going to necessarily preach a Mother's Day message, but he said enough while ago the importance of mothers in our lives. Guess what? Without them, we wouldn't be here. Come on, laugh. Get me going here. Yeah, without them, we wouldn't be here. When I introduce my family, my kids say, Dad, you said that a lot. I tell them as I introduce my wife, without her, I couldn't introduce the rest of them. That's basically how we are. But mothers are, they're great. They do what we cannot do as men. And I praise God for them. I thought of one, I just thought that mothers are persistent in their rearing of children. They never give up, for the most part, especially godly mothers. And mothers are prayerful. And a big part of our ministry, a big part of our life, is believing that God works through prayer. And it's great to hear you as a praying church, praying for your missionaries. We'll look more at that tonight. But then just praying for Symphony there. In the service, that is great. I don't know if I've ever seen that. We've seen happy birthday to many people, but not a time of prayer for. So that shows me where your heart is. He said, "It's the church, a heartbeat of this church is prayer. Without it, guess what? That heart's on stop, and you're going to be dead." And that's not the message this morning on prayer. If I preach a little tonight, it's going to be on that. But praise God for a praying people. Praise God for a praying church, because that's how we reach God. That's how we get the power to do the things that enable us to go out and to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Your wall back there coming into church, I believe it's Philippians chapter 1. I believe that's what it said. I'm going to turn there real quick. I don't have that whole passage memorized, so I'm going to turn there real quick before we even get to the message. First, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "Whether I come and see you or else am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Folks, we're here because of the gospel. Jesus Christ came to this earth, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, where I was just at, and I would like for you to turn there. This is not the passage I'm preaching from this morning, but I'm only here every 4 or 5 years, so I'm going to jump around a little bit, Pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, I'm skipping a lot here, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, Paul again speaking, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Folks, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. It's what makes the difference in this life. It's what made and makes the difference in every life that's sitting out here if you're a born-again child of God. If you're not saved today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's what will change you. It'll change you now and forever. And folks, Paul, in this passage right here, like I said, I'm not preaching from this passage, I just want to remind us of the importance and what the gospel is. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was transformed by the gospel. Paul was enabled to perform the work of the ministry, which is number one for all children of God, like Pastor said, not just the missionaries you send out, not just the ones you support, and we praise God and thank God for Faith Bible Church and how you support us. Like he said, he chose us. God chose us. What a blessing that is. But everyone in here is a sent out missionary. A sent out missionary to go and do what? To go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to embarrass someone right now, but his name is Steve. Isn't that your name? That's him. I'm not going to embarrass him. But I've heard good things about Steve, how he goes out and shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. I could go more and I could say more, but that's a good testimony to have. That's a wonderful testimony to have. And you know what? As I saw this morning in the Sunday school hour, I saw men who want to know not just the gospel, but God's word and how to apply it to their lives and how to share it with others. And it begins with the gospel. I guarantee he didn't do that before he got saved. I didn't go into all the world and preach the gospel before I got saved. The gospel is what changes us. And Paul here in this passage says in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Paul was in the ministry of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, not because he was able, but because God enabled him. And look at the next part of that verse. For he counteth me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Folks, real quickly this morning, are you faithful in the ministry of the gospel? Paul was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful in doing the work of God. Faithful into God's word. Faithful in this verse we just read a while ago in Philippians, in the conversation. Living the gospel in your life. Not just proclaiming it. Not just preaching it. Not just telling it. But living the gospel. And it's glorious. The gospel is glorious. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. We're dirty. I love how he said that. I'm thankful that he said that because I use it so much. I'm like, are people offended that I say I'm a dirty, rotten sinner? That's exactly what I am. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner saved by the grace of God, who did not match, who did not live up to, who missed the mark of his glory, God's perfection. And folks, once we're saved, he enables us. He's the one that gives us the strength. He gives us the power to not only proclaim that gospel, but to live that glorious gospel. And how can we do that? Live the gospel. Well, we've got to be set apart, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. We're set apart from the world. We're set apart from this flesh. We're set apart from that wicked one who hates us, wants to destroy us, wants us never to open our mouth to proclaim the gospel. And folks, that's what I want to lead into this morning, leaving this passage. We are your missionaries. Missionaries for what? To go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Lives change at the moment people are saved. What he said a while ago, I don't know if I heard it here. I don't know if I read it in a bulletin last week where we were at in the back of the bulletin, you know, little stories and stuff. But I did hear it or read it somewhere about what he said, that if people could just understand what the gospel is, understand what Jesus Christ did for them, then a lot of people get saved. There would be a lot of people getting saved, but unfortunately, that's not the case. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through unto them. Folks, it's not the case because many times our gospel is hid. Our gospel, the good news, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is hid from a lost and dying world because we're not living the gospel. And they don't want what we have. But folks, Paul was transformed by the gospel. Then the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms wicked people. I was a wicked, evil person before Jesus Christ saved me. Now I'm still a sinner. And in the flesh and dwelling in this flesh, apart from Christ living in me and through me, I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, but I'm a sinner. And the gospel transforms people. And that's what we want to see. We want to see it in Mount Joy. We want to see it in Maritzo, Guam, 9,000 miles away. Because that's why Christ came to this earth. He came, as 1 Timothy 1:15 said, he came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Now, I said I was going to leave the passage a while ago. I'm still not leaving it. Look at verse number 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved. It's by the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God is what changed Paul's life. And Paul there, the last part of that verse number 15, he said, to save sinners of whom I'm chief. And that's when the gospel does its work. When we understand. And the person that Pastor mentioned a while ago, the world, if they'd understand that they're sinners. And because of their sin, they deserve death. They deserve hell. They deserve separation from a holy God forever. And it's when they come to the realization, like Paul did, that I'm a sinner. I'm the chief of sinners. Is when God saves. When we call upon him to save our soul. And he does it. He keeps his word. He changes lives. Folks, the gospel. This church exists because of the gospel. Your missionaries all around the world are proclaiming the gospel. If they're not, they're not doing the right job. No understanding of the Bible. No Bible study. No series, anything is going to amount to much if that person does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We have religion all around the world. We have religion right here all around us. People who know the Bible. People who know what God's Word says, but they're lost. And the gospel makes the difference. So now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In verse number 16, we're going to look at this very familiar passage here. Tonight, when you all come back, the pastor's going to give me an opportunity to share a video we have of what God's been doing over in Guam. We're going to have an opportunity to just let you know. And I'm so glad, I've said that several times already, Pastor, but I'm just glad that you mentioned that. It's not all about the bells and whistles and you know, the good stuff. He's asking for it, so he's going to get it tonight. And I praise God for the opportunity he gives us to represent him, to be his ambassadors in this place called Guam. And I hope you come back tonight to see and hear what God's doing. But our family also tonight, we didn't get to sing, all of us this morning, but our family's going to sing. And we're going to sing a song called I'm Not Ashamed. And that's what I want to look at this morning. The fact that the place that we're living in right here in America, the greatest country on this earth, still is, even though the mess that we're in, the leadership that we're under, is still the greatest country in this earth, on this earth. I've been not that many places around the world, but I've been around the world. I know this is the greatest country on the earth. God's grace is still being bestowed upon us abundantly. His mercy, he's still giving us his mercy. But folks, our answer, I heard it talked about this morning in our Sunday school hour. No offense to anybody, but I've heard it almost in every church that I've been. Big discussion last week amongst men about stimulus and stuff like that. Our answer, folks, is not Washington. Our answer is not we passed your capital. Harrisburg? Is that the capital? Answer is not in Harrisburg, the capital. I didn't do that well in school on that subject. I thought it was Pittsburgh. Thought it was Philadelphia. Capital, Harrisburg. Answer is not there. Answer is not in a stimulus check. I've been sharing with people how God has abundantly blessed, exceeding abundantly blessed, just our furlough, beyond all measure. Folks, God has been given this man, this family, stimulus checks all the time. All of the time. Because he's the faithful God. He's the true God. And he keeps his word when we put our faith and when we put our dependence, our whole weight on him. God keeps his word. I praise God for the God I serve, for the Savior who saved me, and for the mission that he has sent us to do, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you ashamed of the gospel? There's a lot of mess in this country. I'm just sticking to the United States. There's a lot of mess in this country because I believe personally there's a lot of Christians who are ashamed of the gospel. How do I know that? Well, I can see. God's given me eyes. I can hear. I hear a lot. I see a lot. I hear a lot. It's sad what I hear. It's sad what I see. But how do I know? Because Paul, several times in his letters, talked about how he was not ashamed. God doesn't make mistakes. He never has and never will. Paul's writing to people that he had to say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Because evidently there was a lot of people who were. And Pastor, this morning, I don't know where I'm going with this, that I'm going to get kicked out of here or lose support or whatever. But this man was praying and then commented up here about Some folks, I know there's vacations, I know it's Mother's Day and other stuff, but he was commenting the fact he'd love to see more people here. You know what? I would love to see more people here. I would love to see churches packed. And I don't think it's God's fault. It sure is not the world's fault. Because you go out there into the world, and most of the places we traveled during deputation, even more so now, even with COVID, there's baseball games and soccer games going on right now. All during the Sunday Lord's Day hours. And if you go up to those people, you know what they're going to tell you? If you witness to it, I'm a Christian. And the question is, why are you here? Why aren't you at the Lord's house? Am I being picky? No, I'm not being picky. Folks, I'm concerned. And I believe it's because Christians, not the world, the world doesn't go up to somebody and say, hey, you know we're going to spend eternity? Hey, I can tell you how you can know that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. The world's not going to do that. It's Christians who have been given that duty. When God saved us, he didn't take us home. He left us right here. I've been saved 26 years. 26 years, God has said, Bill, go proclaim the gospel. Go tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, for 26 years, I haven't done that. But praise God, when he saved me, he changed me. And I had the opportunity to fulfill his commandment and his mission to make the choice to go out and to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me as we read this one passage in honor and respect for God's word, if you can? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have to be in your house this Lord's Day. Lord, thank you that you've enabled each and every person here, no matter the age, no matter the health, you have enabled us. You've given us the strength. You've given us the power. You've given us the ability to get here and to be in your house. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, I thank you again. There's no better place than any of us could be in today than right here. And Lord, we just want to hear from you today. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts in this matter concerning the gospel. And Lord, those who are ashamed of it. Lord, speak to my heart. Help me to grow more bolder. Help me to grow more faithful. And Lord, to trust you, no matter the circumstance, no matter what's happened around me. And I pray that you would help each and every person here, Lord, to examine themselves, Lord, to see if they've been doing what you want us to do. Lord, work in our hearts, give grace, and we'll be careful to praise you and honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. We'll look at a few reasons this morning, looking at what Paul has to say here. Not everyone's Paul. We'll look at Peter in just a few minutes too. Folks, we should not be ashamed because what we just read, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Why should we be ashamed? As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why should we be ashamed of something that will save us from our sins? Save us from the penalty of our sins. Change our lives forever. Just a quick testimony. I was 28 years of age before the Lord saved me. I'm thankful for God's patience, for God's long-suffering. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. At the age of 28, I understood and realized that I was a sinner and that I deserved hell. And I called upon the name of the Lord, and on October 16, 1995, after a week of revival and a pastor or evangelist preaching on hell that last night, I called upon the name of the Lord. I cried out in desperation. I can't do it, Lord. I can't save myself, but you can. Will you save me? And guess what? He saved me. Guess what he did? He kept his word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We saw that was a good testimony in 1 Timothy. One of the testimonies of Paul, he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. And then the gospel saved him. And he became the apostle Paul. Folks, the gospel is what makes the difference. I was reminded this morning of the class, the five people you want to witness to. The top five. I love that. Top five. I grew up in sports, and growing up, you know, there was the top 10 on SportsCenter. Don't watch it anymore, but I remember it back then. As soon as they said the top five this morning, I said, that's great. That if you're going to have a top five in anything, let's let it be top five people that need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Where you have the opportunity each week to pray, to fast, to witness, to do something out of an act of love, to show them what God has done for you, what God has done for me, what makes the difference in life. You know what makes the difference in my life? The gospel. If he had asked me to come up here and preach this morning 26 years ago, let me tell you what I'd look like. Well, I have to, since this is not all what I wrote down, I have to, for my wife smacks me after church, I was in church, so I was stopped there. I was a lost sinner, okay? My life had changed because I was going to church. But guess what? Church doesn't save you. I was pretty religious. Religious doesn't save you. But before those days, I started going to church as a lost sinner. Before those days that happened, you would have had somebody up here who looked like a freak. If you know what they are, come on. We know what they look like, okay? All right? But God saved me. God changed my life and changed my eternity. It's like the maniac at Gadara. I was thinking the right way. I was with the right people. I was dressing the right way. And why? Because of the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth. Folks, there's no reason to be ashamed of something that saves your soul. The other day I was traveling down the road and there's a truck in front of me. It was in West Virginia, I believe. It might have been before West Virginia. But it said, guns save lives. Right under it, it said, knives save lives. I can only imagine what the guy had in his truck. But the thought came and kind of like on the sheet this morning, I like it, the Sunday school. It said, how are you going to use this week the verse, the passage to in conversation, how are you going to use that to share the gospel with somebody? And before I even learned that today and saw that, immediately I thought of the gospel when I saw that. Because guns may save lives, knives may save lives, but only the gospel saves souls, okay? Only the gospel saves souls. That's pretty important. There's a lot of souls in this world. And folks, it's of the utmost importance that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Those we know, those we meet, have no other way to be saved apart from Jesus Christ. Divine appointments. You're praying for that in the class. That is a goal this week, to use the scripture you're learning to somehow share the gospel to somebody. What are we praying for actually? For divine appointments. Let me share this with you. We were in West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia, this past week. We went in for Friday night, we went in for Mother's Day. Take my wife out, take my children out. So we ended up at Chick-fil-A drive-in, only thing open. that we could go in. Well, we couldn't go in, but we Chick-fil-A drive-in. Well, anybody in here familiar with Morgantown, West Virginia? Wow, y'all get out? It's not that far. Okay, one back there. Well, we had been there before on deputation, got a couple of churches support us up there in West Virginia, and something's really changed. The area where the baseball field is for West Virginia University is brand new. All the hotels around it, all the shopping exits and everything, it's like they just carved it out of a mountain. It can't be no more than 1-2 years old. So when we drove up going to Chick-fil-A, we passed a baseball field. And just to let you know, on deputation, several opportunities we had to go to see baseball games. One was at Texas A&M, where a man saw our family looking through the fence and gave us tickets. University of South Carolina, some other places we saw baseball. So even though my four oldest are gone, my younger ones were like, are they playing? We went by and they were playing. My wife gets on the phone real quick. They're playing Ohio University, OU. And we wasn't going in. First of all, it was really cold and just didn't have the time and didn't want to find out the prices. Make a long story short, I wasn't paying for tickets. We went around the stadium on up towards Chick-fil-A. There's a hotel or some type of building right above the stadium. There's all kind of people out there watching from the hill. So, you know, furlough, we're going back to Guam in 6 weeks. Let's get out. So most of us got out freezing cold and watched about an inning and a half. Got two balls, and yet you just have to know how the stadium was. Foul balls, right-handed batter going to right field would come up in the hill. And long story, I'm rambling here. Don't do that, Bill. Anyway, we left. There's a Walmart up there, brand new too. Had to get a few things in there. I'm sorry. Way past here. I'm telling all of this, and my wife's shaking her head at me, because there was a divine appointment we knew nothing about, and it had to do with that baseball game. As we passed the left field, this brand new stadium, 25 feet from the home run pole in left field is the main road we were on. And I said, this wasn't very wise. Home runs are going to hit cars and stuff. And that was it. Okay? That was basically it. That's all I said. We went to Walmart. We shopped a little bit. I come outside. My wife, I made her go out in the car, sit in the van, as we paid for her items. And as we come out, there's a man talking to her. And she's all smiles. And she says, you've got to hear this. You're not going to believe this. You got to hear this. So after she was excited, and there was a man standing there, and he pulled out of his pocket a baseball. The same baseball that my sons had gotten with the foul balls, the NCAA baseball. This man had been traveling down the road, and he heard a bang, and a home run had landed in his truck and stayed in it. And he was so excited that he wanted to tell somebody. What about that? This is how it happened. He was so excited, he wanted to go tell somebody. So Walmart was the next stop. He pulled into, you ought to saw how he parked. He parked halfway in one place and halfway in another, left his door open, saw my wife, and wanted to tell her that a baseball landed in the back of his truck. I've got the pictures with him. He kept the baseball. Had this thought, he's going to give it to one of my kids. But he wanted to tell somebody, wanted a picture with me and my family. And my wife, I was going to try to reach for one, but my wife already handed me a tract. A divine appointment. They happen all the time. No reason to be ashamed of the gospel. When Jesus Christ saves you and he wants to save others, that's why he came. Divine appointments. And after we took the pictures and talked about the baseball and stuff. And actually, a man was originally from Austin, Texas, where we was a month ago. Had that conversation. I shared with him the gospel. And he pulled a chain out from under his T-shirt with a cross with Jesus on it. And let me share what he said. He said, "We're cousins." I said, "We're cousins?" He said, "Yeah, I'm almost there. Almost there." Folks, that's a lost and dying world. That's a man that needed to hear the gospel. And I had the opportunity just in a brief time to share with him what the gospel meant. And the fact, and I was just blunt, that we were not cousins. We were not cousins. Come tonight, Guam is predominantly Roman Catholic, so God knows what He's doing all the time, even with divine appointments. I just shared that with you because it happened for a reason. It happened for a reason. A baseball landed in a man's truck to come and tell my wife. Anybody here have ever heard of Ann Coulter? Oh, we got a few Fox people in here. You know, that's the first thing he told my wife when she, "You look like Ann Coulter." And my wife had said that several times because people have said that. So my children said, "Who is Ann Coulter?" So I had to look it up, and they was like, "Yeah, you look like her." So I don't know if it was so much the excitement of sharing a baseball story he had or just getting to meet Ann Coulter. I don't know. Anyway, folks, listen, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. Secondly, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus is not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of us. Look at Hebrews. Turn real quick. I'm speeding up now. I'm speeding up because I wasn't given time, and I'm just, I want to go. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Folks, after all that Jesus Christ has done for us, all that he did for us, suffering the shame of the cross, dying for my sins, taking my place as my substitute, dying in that while we were yet sinners, folks, there's nothing we should be ashamed of. And if it was just because Christ said, "I'm not ashamed of the brethren." Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Folks, in our sins, knowing who we are, knowing our future, Christ died for us. We ought not be ashamed because Christ is not ashamed of us. Thirdly, folks, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. A couple of books over from Hebrew. 1 Peter chapter 4. No one didn't look familiar. I was in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse number 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Folks, we are to bring glory to God. And we do bring glory to God, even in our sufferings. Folks, If we suffer persecution, whatever, because of telling someone about the gospel, the Bible says we're glorifying God. That's a pretty neat way to glorify God. Let's go out and suffer today. Folks, let's go out and proclaim the gospel today. And in doing so, you're going to glorify God, sharing with others what God has done for you, that God wants to do for them. Also, folks, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We'll close in just a minute. Just emphasizing the importance of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Folks, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because he hath not given us the spirit of fear. We should have no fear to be a partaker of the affliction of the gospel because God is able to keep that which he hath committed unto us. Unto him, I'm sorry. Folks, don't be in this down south. I know we're pretty far up north now. Don't be scared. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Folks, there's absolutely, positively no reason why any of us in here, me, top dog, up here preaching today, included, that we should be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has there been an opportunity in this past week where the Holy Spirit said, speak to that person? And for whatever reason, we all come up with excuses why we shouldn't. For whatever reason, you just didn't. But God wants us to be bold. Paul prayed for boldness, the confidence, the assurance to go everywhere he went and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church exists because of the gospel. We as missionaries go around all the world, going to places that you can't. You're welcome to come to Guam. We'd love to have you visit. If you're an American citizen, you don't even need a passport. Fly to Hawaii, come to Guam. You can be there in 2 days. We'd love for you to come. If all the pastors who said they're coming came on this furlough, I wouldn't have to preach for 6 months. I mean, they're all coming. And I welcome you. I welcome you, brother, and your family. But you know what? Many of you, most of you, can't go to Guam. That's why you send missionaries. Specific places for specific people. God's got a specific person and a specific place for you each and every day. To do what? To make a difference. It's because of him and his glorious gospel that we're here today. Father, I thank you, I praise you for this privilege we have, Lord, to be your ambassadors, be the light in this dark, dark world, to show others and to tell others how they can have their sins forgiven and be given eternal life and life even on this earth more abundantly. Lord, will you help us? Will you enable us not to be ashamed of the gospel? Lord, it's what changes things. It's what changes people. And we're thankful, and we're more than thankful for saving us through the gospel and then leaving us here, Lord, to do the same to others, to show people how they can be saved through the gospel. May we have a zeal like we've never had before, Lord, to go out in this lost world making a difference. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today who has never accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross when he took our place and died for our sins, when he was buried, when he arose again, just like the scripture said, and lives forevermore. I pray, Lord, if there's a soul in here that does not know you, Lord, today would be their day of salvation. I pray if there's one here today, Lord, who's been struggling with the area of, Lord, witnessing, giving out the gospel, that, Lord, they would trust thee, the one who enables, the one who gives the power, the strength to do just that. I pray that you'd help them this day. Lord, we need you. Without you, we can do nothing. And we're thankful and pray and give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn it over to you, Pastor.
All right. Thank you, brother.